Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, and stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me, too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 to 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, thank you, Father, for your word and the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word is the sword of the Spirit and is the most powerful weapon in the universe. And Lord, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace that you show us in that you, Lord, on a daily basis, you teach our hands to war. You teach us how to be warriors on the battlefield of life. Father, fill us anew with your Spirit. Fill us with your joy, peace, and grace. And more, help us to know how to walk wisely and strategically as we live as kingdom warriors and ambassadors for your kingdom, going forth to build your kingdom and to tear down the kingdom of darkness. We place ourselves afresh in your hands today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, right now we ask for your Spirit of wisdom. Would you help us to understand what we need to understand this morning? You already know what we need, Father. And Father, I just ask for help so that we could better grow an understanding of your kingdom. And Father, in addition to that, I also ask for boldness, that as you teach us this morning, that we'd carry it out in action, that we'd carry it out in living our lives more as you've called us to live. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And I'm grateful to have with us in studio today my wife, Birdie. And Birdie's going to lead us in prayer at this time as well.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, we are so grateful just to be here. We come humbly in the name of Jesus, thanking you for who you are, what you've done, what you're about to do. Have your way today in the airways, in the homes of the people. We pray for the producer. We pray for the presenter. We pray for the guest. We pray that you be lifted up today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Birdie. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're honored to have as our phone guest today, Pastor Michelle Steele. She's a pastor and a apparently wears a number of hats, but amongst other things, she's also an author, and she's the author of a book entitled Intervention Prayers, Powerful Prayers to Rescue and Restore Your Family, and she's going to share about the message of that book today. Pastor Michelle, how are you today?
I am blessed and honored to be a part of this hour of prayer, this time of letting the Word of God help us know how to reach heaven. Amen. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share about the book, Intervention Prayers. I do believe it is something that will help so many people know how to pray for their family and their loved ones. And we all have people in our family that need us to make intercession for them, don't we?
We really, really do. Before we get into the book, would you take a moment to tell our listeners now, I think I understood you and your husband, Pastor, a couple congregations, if someone maybe in the listening area or in the communities where the churches are located, if they want to visit, how could they do that?
Well, we have pastored over 25 years in the DeSoto, Kansas area, which is a suburb of Kansas City. And so that church is at 8390 Peoria Street in DeSoto, Kansas. And then about 10 years ago, the Lord instructed us to plant a second church in the city of Little Rock, Arkansas. And so we've been in Little Rock, Arkansas. Our location is 11620 Rainwood Road in Little Rock, Arkansas. And we are thrilled to have the opportunity to build faith. Our church is called Faith Builders International. And buildfaith.net is the website, and you could get the addresses again to those, or you could watch the live stream or get the podcast from those services. Buildfaith.net is the way to access all of that information.
All right. All right. Well, again, the title of your book is Intervention Prayers, Powerful Prayers to Rescue and Restore Your Family. Can you, as we start off, can you tell us what is an intervention prayer and what moved you to choose that title for your book?
Well, an intervention prayer is setting up a rescue for the power of God to come into the life of a family member or the life of someone who's dear to your heart. You're praying in a way that opens the door for the power of God to move and to bring freedom to that person. And what caused me to see the need for this to be in a book form that can not only teach us but give us examples of how to pray those intervention prayers. Pastor Parker, I spent my childhood and my teenage years running from the Lord, not having his plan in operation in my life. I ended up running away from home as a teenage girl. I became a prostitute at the age of 15, and I was in and out of trouble with the law. I was on drugs really, really, really bad. I had two times that I overdosed and died and was brought back to life. And in my life before Christ, I had no knowledge of the salvation that was available to me through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I had no personal understanding of how Jesus Christ had died on the cross to set me free from sin. And I am able to look back now after having received Jesus as Lord and been set free from drugs and rescued from that life of crime. I'm able to look back and see how it wasn't anything that I did that brought that knowledge to me, but I can see there were people in my family who prayed. And so as I've told my testimony over the years, because I've been walking with Jesus now for 32 years, and so having been, you know, not only having my life restored, but been in the ministry and helping other people find that restoration, I've told my testimony, and I've had a lot of family members who've come to me who said, my child is in that same position. My son is on drugs, or my daughter is in a life of crime. And I can hear the frustration in their voice, and I can hear the desperate plea of their voice. But I know from the Word of God that for our prayers to be effective, for them to be that open door for the power of God to move in that situation, we've got to pray in faith. It's the prayer of faith that brings the salvation. And so I began to see through the years how I could help people learn how to pray instead of in the light of the alcoholism that their loved one is in, and instead of praying from the fear of their child dying in a suicide attempt or dying in the drug addiction, how to get the Word of God established in their heart and help them pray the intervention prayer that will be an effective prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for our listeners to really have ears to hear in them, because there are many people listening now who really need to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to them about a prayer tool like the kind you're talking about in your book. Would you pray for our listeners in that regard?
Absolutely. Father, I pray for all of those who you have tuned their ears in to hear today. Let the church have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And Father, let every hungry heart have the frequency tuned in to hear what the answers that you're providing through the Spirit today. And I pray, Father, for the fear that has been that ever-present bombardment against their mind, fear of losing their loved one. We just take authority over that fear in the name of Jesus, and we pray for there to be hope, and we pray for there to be light, and we pray, Father, for that answer that will teach them how to stand and to effectively stand in the gap and make up the hedge for their loved one, that would be in place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Michelle. Now, if someone listening, if they're wanting to get a copy of the book Intervention Prayers, can you tell them how to do that?
Yes, buildfaith.net is a good access. Of course, it is available through Kindle. It is in audiobook on Amazon. The Kindle version and the audio version are available, as well as a print version there on Amazon, or you could go to buildfaith.net and find us as well. I know it's in christianbook.com and many of the other major retailers, but buildfaith.net is always a good place to find those resources and others that go with it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you then. And I think I understood you to say, Pastor Michelle, then, that it was after you were saved and were walking with the Lord that you learned that there were those who were interceding on your behalf when you weren't in a position to really intercede for yourself. Is that what you were saying then?
Yeah, I look back and I see my grandmother had a walk with God. She was a woman of prayer. My mother told me the way that she was praying for me during that time. And interestingly enough, during these years, when I had two children who were born at various times during in between the addictions, and their grandmother was helping to raise them, and she took them to church, and they began to have prayer with their Sunday school teachers. They would take our names to put in for prayer petition. Please pray for my mommy. Please pray for my daddy. And I had, you know, the faith of a child interceding for me as well. And so I look at and I see that even though my family didn't necessarily know how to pray fully, but they prayed enough to get the door open for God to be able to move in my situation and set me free.
Mm. Well, so could it be said then that it may very well have been the prayers that your children prayed for you as well as your mom that kept you alive during that time?
Absolutely. I believe those prayers became a lifeline. Those prayers became an open door for the power of God to be able to move in that situation.
Okay. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Pastor Michelle Steele. She's the author of Intervention Prayers, Powerful Prayers to Rescue and Restore Your Family. We'll be right back.
This is the story of a runaway with no way home and no way out. I threw the best of me away. I had my chance. It's too late now.
too far gone and too ashamed to think that you'd still know my name. But love refused to lend my story in that way. You didn't wait for me to find my way to you. I couldn't cross that distance even if I wanted to. You came running. Relentless grace would chase this rebel down, crawl into this prisoner's cage, take my hand and pull me.
The music of Casting Crowns with Love Moved First. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Michelle Steele. She's the author of Intervention Prayers, Powerful Prayers to Rescue and Restore Your Family. And a word of encouragement to our listeners. If you listen on a regular basis, you may recall we often like to put prayer tools in the hands of our listeners because the reality is everybody can use help in their prayer life. And the fact is prayer is one of the greatest gifts and opportunities we as believers have to be able to put to work as a spiritual weapon and a tool to use to help us to be victorious in life. And so, again, if you wanted to get a copy of the book, Intervention Prayers, Powerful Prayers to Rescue and Restore Your Family, please do get the information so you can get a copy of the book. But Pastor Michelle, as we begin this segment, Bertie had a question she wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Pastor Michelle. What?
Yes, ma'am.
Effectiveness of your testimony changed the lives of the people that you shared your testimony with.
Could you repeat that question? I didn't catch the first part of it.
What effectiveness of your testimony that you shared with some of the people that you shared your testimony with that was transformed? That transformed their lives.
Yes, ma'am. I think the effectiveness was just to see that the love of God, how the love of God reached me. You know, as I said, I ran away from home and was on the streets of Nashville, Tennessee for a number of years, in and out of addiction, in and out of trouble with the law. And to hear how God rescued me, how he came into my life and gave me a life that's worth living, I think the effectiveness to see me now 30 years later serving God in the ministry, television ministry, books that are tools to help people, I think that really gives a lot of people hope. And to see how he restored my life, you know, I'd lost custody of my children during that time, and God restored my life and brought those children back into my custody, and I was able to raise them. And just to see the power of God restore a life is always uplifting to people. And that's what we want to do when we're praying. We want to get an image of that restored, the restoration that God wants to do. A lot of times people are praying from a position of fear, and they're praying out of the desperation of what they see their loved ones in, and they're praying things such as, and I've prayed it, so I'm not condemning anyone for praying this way, but to pray, Lord, you've got to save them. They're so lost and they're so in trouble and they're in that addiction. And Lord, they're good. You know, to pray the problem isn't nearly as effective as to pray the answer. To say, Father, I come to you on the basis of your word, and your word says that you desire, that you are not slack concerning your promise, but you're long-suffering, and you are not willing that any should perish. You don't want my child to perish, but you want them to come to repentance and to begin to pray in the light of what God's will is in that is more effective than to pray from the desperation of what you're seeing transpire in your loved one's life. And so I think that the testimony has helped people see that to switch that inner image they have when they're praying.
Mm. Well, you know, Pastor Michelle, just to mention what you're touching on, the way of the attitude with which people pray is actually a huge topic to really look at in that, because when people are just kind of just crying out in fear, as you touched on earlier, that's not the way you pray. You pray with faith and hope and expectation of God hearing and believing that you receive even when you pray. But would you expound on that a little more?
Well, I began to see that the foundation of what you're praying, if you're praying from that place of fear, you're going to be praying not nearly as effectively. You're going to be praying the problem, and God's waiting for the right words and the right petition that he can work with. And let me explain that. When we begin to learn about who we are in Christ, and we begin to learn about the authority that God has given to the believer, we begin to see that God works with our prayers. Mm-hmm. He said in the book of James, the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man. And the Amplified says, it avails much. It makes mm-hmm. tremendous power available. The one translation, the Moffat, says, the prayer of the righteous has a powerful effect. The Young's Literal says, it is very strong. A very strong is a working supplication of a righteous man. And I think my favorite would be the Amplified. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And when we look at our loved ones and they're in addiction or alcoholism, they're self-harming, they're attempting suicide, they're going after, you know, a life of crime, we see the power of the devil working in their life. We see the power of sin working in their life. What we want to see is the power of God in that situation. And so our prayers are like picking up the phone and calling 911. When you are in an emergency and you need someone who can bring some life-saving equipment, you need someone who can come and perform life-saving techniques on your loved one, you pick up the phone and you invite by giving the address, by giving the entrance of the knowledge of what's taken place, and that 911 call, then all of those resources that are on standby, the ambulance, the fire department, the police, whatever's needed, they're on standby. They're available. But they don't know you need them till you pick up the phone and call. Mm. And when you pick up the phone and you make a faith connection and you say, Father, I'm calling on behalf of my son, my daughter, my uncle, my dad, and you begin to pray his word, and you're saying, Father, I come because it's your will for them to be saved. You want to save them from this life that is destroying them. And that's that 911 call. Now the line is open and help can be sent to the situation. And that is an intervention prayer. You're inviting God into the situation. You're allowing his power by being the one. You know, Lot was taken captive. And Lot didn't have the power to get himself free. Mm-hmm. But Abram did. Abram, who later became Abraham, he took 318 men and a covenant with God, and he went and rescued his nephew. If it hadn't been for Abram, not only Lot and his family, but all the people that had been taken captive, they all received that rescue because someone brought the power of God into the situation. The Shunammite woman whose son laid his head on her knees and died, and she carried him up and laid him on the place where the word of God rested in her home, the man of God's room that she had prepared. She became a living instrument who brought the power of God into the situation. If she had not gone after the power of God and brought the power of God back to her situation, her son would never have come back to life. But Lot was rescued. The Shunammite woman's son lived. David's family was rescued, who had been taken captive at Ziklag, because David inquired of the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord gave him specific instruction of how to bring rescue into the situation. And that's what the book, Intervention Prayers, provides. It provides, it's written in a way that gives you daily instruction. It's a 28-day format. Every day has a teaching. Every day has a prayer and scriptures to meditate on. And those prayers aren't just to be rehearsed, memorized prayers. They are to give you an idea how to apply the teaching of that day in prayer, because God wants us to take his word and apply it in prayer as we are praying these intervention prayers and making that 911 call to bring the rescue that our loved one needs. And that's what standing in the gap is all about. That's what making up the hedge is all about.
Mm-hmm. Would you, Pastor Michelle, would you take time now to pray the intervention prayer at the end of the first chapter that you listed in the book?
Absolutely. And, you know, that first chapter does talk about pursue, overtake, and recover all, how God, and so I taught in that about how to make that 911 call, how that David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him he would recover all. And so that prayer is applying that teaching. And so let me pray that. And so if you're listening today and you have a loved one who is in addiction or who is living a life that is a dangerous lifestyle, they're walking away from the plan that God has for their life, you put their name in with me and agree in prayer as we pray this prayer for our loved ones. Father God, I am calling for your intervention in Jesus' name. I'm coming to you because someone I love needs your help. My children have been held in bondage, and you can put your loved one's name right there where I said my children. You can put your loved one name. Let's just say our loved ones. Our loved ones have been held in bondage to something destroying their lives. Only you have the power to set them free from this destruction. I come to you before your throne to set up a divine intervention in their life. Heavenly Father, you are fully aware of everything in this situation. You know even the things that are done in secret. You know the tears they have cried. You know the lies the enemy has used to deceive them. Father, you know what it will take to reach them with your word and free them from the enemy's hold. I trust in your help. You instruct me in your word to ask, so I'm asking for an intervention. I call on the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, for deliverance in this situation, to stop the destruction and release my loved one from all bondage. I take my place in Christ to administer the life-saving prayers and exercise authority over the adversary in their lives. I open my heart to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to be an instrument in your hands to administer life-saving treatment. I want to take the spiritual action to enforce my covenant and see your salvation manifest in my loved one's life. I will not panic. Instead, I will trust you. I ask you to cover my loved one with your mercy and protection. Guard them against the dangers of the lifestyle they're living. I ask for angels to be commissioned to guard them against all tragedy. I speak life to my loved one and command thoughts of death, suicide, and self-harm to stop. Every stronghold of death be broken in the name of Jesus. Let the peace of God surround their heart and mind. Let there be hope where the enemy has tried to plant hopelessness. I command a crop failure on the seeds of death the enemy has sown. Father, your word declares, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be saved and my family too. I stand on that promise. I claim the salvation of my loved one. I believe I will see the goodness of God in my loved one's life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to pray that prayer as well. Well, Pastor Michelle, let me ask you this too. And if we come up on a break, we can pick up on the other side though. But you emphasize the need for our prayers to work with the will of God. Do you find that sometimes people will pray in ways that make it hard for God to answer their prayers?
I do, because one of the things that I really emphasize in the book is establishing the will of God in your heart so that you're not trying to get God to do something he's already willing to do. And I think a lot of times that's where people are. They're stuck in a ditch and they're spinning their wheels because they're praying, God, please, please save them, as if they're trying to convince God of something he's already convinced about. It's his desire. It is his will. And that's why we've got to establish the will of God in our hearts so that we're coming and we're agreeing with his will. Father, it's your will to save them. You want to save. Your blood was shed. The blood of Jesus was shed for my loved one to be saved. And Father, I come in agreement with your will. And I think that is the main thing that people make the mistake, is that they're trying to convince God to do something he's already convinced to do.
Okay, we're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest is Pastor Michelle Steele. She's the author of Intervention Prayers, Powerful Prayers to Rescue and Restore Your Family. We'll be right back. From the group Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Michelle Steele. She's the author of Intervention Prayers, Powerful Prayers to Rescue and Restore Your Family. Pastor Michelle, one more time, if someone wants to get the book, tell them again how they can get one.
They can definitely visit buildfaith.net, our website, and access our store there. It is also available on Amazon and in christianbook.com and Barnes & Noble and many of the major retailers as well. But buildfaith.net is our church website, and it's available there in our store.
Okay. All righty. Okay, well, before the break, you were talking about, again, ways that people can do things to make it hard for God to answer their prayers. What are some things we can change to work with the will of God as we're interceding on behalf of our loved ones?
Well, one of the things that I've found, Pastor Parker, is that a lot of times people don't realize in praying that there are various types of prayer. Maybe, you know, I use an example in the book that for a long time I did everything in the house. Instead of using a tool for it, I would try to use my butter knife, you know, and my husband would be like, why are you trying to screw that into the wall with a butter knife? And he would go out into the garage and get his toolbox and come in with the toolbox. And he said, there's a tool for that. And a lot of times people are using one type of praying. They're using the prayer of faith as the only thing that they're you know, trying to apply, when God provided various applications of prayer, and they all have specific purposes. And one of the things in praying, of course, we use our faith in every type of praying, but there's the prayer of faith, but there's the prayer of intercession. There's supplications. There are the prayer of praise and worship, all of the different applications of our communication with God in praying and making these petitions. When you're praying the prayer of faith, your faith is not going to override the will of your loved one. And a lot of family members may be trying to use the prayer of faith to get their child to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I believe in faith that they're going to this or that or the other. And God's not going to override anyone's will. And so we've got to learn what's the right tool for this situation. What the problem is the enemy is influencing or attacking or blinding their mind. We know that's the enemy's method of operation. He is a mind blinder. And what we need to do instead is exercise our authority to say, I come against what the enemy, the lie that the enemy is using against my loved one, blinding their mind from seeing the truth of the salvation available to them in Jesus Christ. And I take authority over that mind blinding, and I break its power today off my loved one, and I ask for the light of the gospel to shine in their light, in their lives, so that they see the light of what's available to them in Christ and what's available in the destiny God has chosen for them. And so learning to apply those different prayers, and, you know, in intercession, and I know that's the focus of your program, intercession, the word means to go between. The word intercede means to go between. And when we are praying for our loved ones, it's not a 30-second prayer once that we say, well, I did, I prayed for them. A lot of times, because God is having to influence them with light, and he's not going to override their will, but he will bring he'll draw them by his spirit. He'll bring to them laborers across their path who will minister things to them that will reach them. And so we've got to stay with prayer longer than that 30 seconds and saying, well, I did it. I hit it once in prayer and now I'm done. Intercession is that going between. And when Jesus did the work of intercession, he went between us and God, and he made the way, a new and a living way, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, new and living way for us to come to God. But he also went between us and the enemy and broke the power of the enemy off of our life. The work of intercession is complete. Jesus completed it. It's done. It's available. And it's available even for our loved ones who may not be walking with the Lord right now. It's available, but they're not experiencing that work of intercession that Jesus completed. Mm-hmm. The prayer of intercession takes the work of intercession and applies it to the situation. So when I'm interceding for my loved one, I am praying for all that's available for them in God, that making that way. And I'm saying, Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus has been shed for my child, for my loved one. I thank you, Lord, that blood has made the way for them to be free from the power of darkness. And I apply that blood over them today. I plead the blood over their mind and their mind to be free from that. But then I'm also applying the work of intercession to stand against the enemy for them. And that's what I think when we hear the word, God said, I look for somebody to stand in the gap in Ezekiel. He said, I look for somebody to make up the hedge. He's looking for somebody to bring that resistance against the enemy. That gap that he's referring to in Ezekiel 22 was an opening, a break in the wall where the enemy kept entering and finding an avenue to get into their life. That's not something that kind of praying is not something that I can say, well, I did it last year. because the enemy found another way in since then. I've got to stay on the wall. I've got to stay in that place of intercession where I'm available so that when the Holy Spirit leads me to begin to pray for that laborer to be sent across my child's path or to pray against a certain lie that's come into their understanding, that they're believing that lie and they're being deceived, that I'm standing in that gap and I'm saying, Father, I take authority over that lie. Mm-hmm. That's not the truth of your word. And Father, I break that off of their understanding. And I ask you, Lord, to send the answer. Cause them to hear the truth. Cause them to experience someone who will tell them the truth. You know, send those laborers across their path. So mm-hmm. I think that's the different types of praying. Sometimes people just throw them all in a bag and shake them up and say, well, I prayed. Mm-hmm. But are we using the right tool? Are we trying to do everything with the butter knife?
Well, you know, Pastor Michelle, it sounds like, I guess this might be another way of saying what you're saying, but sometimes just praying, Lord, give me wisdom to know how to pray effectively. Would that sort of be another side to what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And making yourself available. You know, when you continually bring that person up to the Lord and you say, you're saying, Lord, you're making that 911 call, right? Mm-hmm. You're making that intervention call, but you're saying, I'm available. And so you pray the things that you know to pray mm-hmm. in the natural. You pray the things that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. And, you know, I have some examples in the book and some stories in the book, but let me tell a specific story. Mm-hmm. And it's a chapter called Thorns in the Road, because it was a person that I had prayed with their family for their loved one, who is actually a member of our church today. But at the time, he was involved in meth. He was manufacturing and selling meth in a meth ring that was covering three states. He was heavily involved, and they were interested. The people in this meth ring, they were, you know, bringing him up, but it was causing him to get even more in danger. There were hitmen and all kinds of gang-related things going on. And his family, his mom and dad, they're pastors of a church, and we agreed for in these intervention prayers. We made those phone calls of calling 911 to the Heaven's hotline, and we were making those calls. And in this time of him standing in the gap for his son, this pastor received an interesting instruction from the Lord. And the Lord brought to him a scripture from Hosea chapter 2, verse 6. And you know Hosea, that's the story of Hosea the prophet, who God instructed him to take a wife of whoredom, a wife of who is a harlot, and to marry her. And then she started going astray. And it was an illustrated sermon, so to speak, of God's love for the nation of Israel, it being played out in Hosea's life with his wife Gomer. But in this scripture, the Lord instructed him to use this scripture like a tool. He said, I want you to begin to pray this scripture over your son's life. And this, let me read the scripture to you. It says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her paths. And we know what her paths were. Her paths were going back to her old way of living, going back to the destruction, the path of destruction. God's Word translation of that verse said, that is why I will block her way with thorn bushes and build a wall so she can't get through. The Bible in Basic English says, for this cause I will put thorns in her road, building up a wall around her so that she may not go on her way. Mm-hmm. The Passion translation says, I'll block her way with a thorn hedge. I'll put up a wall around her, blocking her usual paths. And the Lord told this pastor to pray that God would block the path that his son was on. Now, I stress this in the book. We're not saying God wrap him around a telephone pole to get their attention. No, we're not saying for any evil to befall them. We're praying for the evil path they're on, that they won't be able to continue on that path.
Well, you know, Pastor Michelle, I'm sorry. Our time is just about completely gone here, though, but again, you're touching on so many important things for believers to grasp in relation to how to effectively pray for their loved ones. One more time, share if someone wants to get a copy of the book, Intervention Prayers, tell them again how they can do that.
They can go to buildfaith.net, buildfaith.net, and they can find Intervention Prayers.
All righty. Well, thank you so much again for being with us. And hope my goal is to get you back very soon for us to be able to pick up kind of where we left off. Because, again, this is such a vitally critical part of the lives of believers in the church to act on, again, a 911 call on behalf of someone who's deep in bondage in the kingdom of darkness. So thank you so much for being with us today, Pastor Michelle. We do appreciate you.
Absolutely, Pastor. Thank you.
All right. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day, a wonderful day to commit your life to Christ. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me and give your life to Jesus today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become the Lord and Savior of my life. In the Bible, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to be sure and get some literature and resource materials to you to help you grow and grow strong and put down roots deep in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again. That email, joseph@afr.net. Pastor Michelle, again, thank you so much for being with us. One more time, if someone wants to get a copy of the book, tell them how to do that.
They can find it at buildfaith.net. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share about intervention prayers.
All right, and we look forward to having you back again soon. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.